Hollywood, get ready.
You have no idea how happy I am.
Because today, Steve's moving in and bringing all his friends. Premiere Week kicks off with
Chelsea Handler.
And Steve breaks down what we really want to know.
Why are you single?
Is there anyone that you think would be able to tolerate this?
Plus, Steve's giving away some serious cash. Premiere Week on Steve.
Girl, this is the show to be on.
Yes!
New York, weekdays at 2 on NBC4, New York.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. And I really want this to be the best year ever for America and our allies.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com. Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
I am in the Coach's Corner on a very, very rainy day, so hopefully we'll get through this show without any technical difficulties caused by a major thunderstorm. Today in the Coach's Corner, I'm going to share some incredible quotes, Suggestions for Success by H. Jackson Brown, Jr. H. Jackson Brown Jr. was an American author best known for his inspirational book, Life's Little Instruction Book, which was a New York Times bestseller, a real fun book. So here are his suggestions for success. One, marry the right person. This one decision will determine 90% of your happiness or misery. Two, work at something you enjoy and that's worthy of your time and talent. Three, give people more than they expect and do it cheerfully. Four, become the most positive and enthusiastic person you know. Five, be forgiving of yourself and others. Six, be generous. Seven, have a grateful heart. Eight, persistence, persistence, persistence. Nine, discipline yourself to save money on even the most modest salary. 10, treat everyone you meet like you want to be treated. 11, commit yourself to constant improvement. 12, commit yourself to quality. 13, understand that happiness is not based on possessions, power, or prestige, but on relationships with people you love and respect. 14, be loyal. 15, be honest. 16, be a self-starter. 17, be decisive, even if it means you'll sometimes be wrong. 18, stop blaming others. Take responsibility for every area of your life. 19, be bold and courageous. When you look back on your life, you'll regret the things you didn't do more than the ones you did. 20, take good care of those you love. And 21, don't do anything that wouldn't make your mom proud. I want to go over to our guest today, Joel A. Freeman. Dr. Freeman, did you resonate with those suggestions for success? You are the picture of success.
Well, I just really love what you wrote about ranging. It's so practical, ranging from picking the right life partner. I know I look at my wife, and I'm just blown away that she even allowed me to propose, and then she accepted. She is my secret weapon, you know. And when I think of the other points that you read, I think every single one of those have something to do with the practical side of success in life. And I just love what you just communicated.
Thank you, and I love sharing it. I did not write it, just to set the record straight. I always give credit where credit is due, and that was by H. Jackson Brown Jr. And I certainly can't take any credit for the brilliant mind and the achievements of Joel A. Freeman, a man I truly consider a genius amongst geniuses. He's an accomplished author, internationally sought-after conference speaker and workshop facilitator, serial entrepreneur, professional counselor, success coach to executives, behavioral analyst, and an analyst. I'm so excited about having Joel. I can hardly speak here. Organizational culture change specialist, Rosetta Stone history expert, an expert on Black history as well, corporate trainer, recipient of numerous awards, citations, and honors, motivational consultant and mentor to pro athletes, multiculturally astute with travels to 50-plus countries, critical incident debriefing coach, philanthropist, magazine publisher, photographer, award-winning filmmaker, recognized globally as a specialist in helping organizations unlock the potential of their human capital, a solutionist passionate about dynamic, fun-filled excellence, experiences an ongoing love-hate relationship with technology. I ditto that for myself. Devoted husband and father, off-key singer, and extremely bad dancer, a life motivated by curiosity. Now, folks, that is literally one paragraph of about 4 pages long on Dr. Joel's bio and accomplishments. That is one paragraph. I could spend the entire show just continuing on with how much he's done out in the world, how extraordinary he is. And I just must say there's one thing here that I know is impossible, and that is that it's said that he's an extremely bad dancer, because Joel A. Freeman, sir, I cannot imagine you bad on anything. Over to you, Dr. Joel.
Well, you're too funny. I'm just very, very thankful for the opportunities that God has granted me to be able to do different things. And my wife, as I mentioned before, is my secret weapon. She is just a wonderful person, a good heart, and best friend. And my kids are, I'm just very thankful for each one, and it's kind of fun watching them find their way in the world. And so all of that you mentioned, I call that my resume obituary type stuff. And I just kind of, you know, just I look at everything that has happened in my life, and I feel like I've lived three lives or so. And I just take everything in stride and very, very grateful for the opportunity to be inhaling and exhaling today.
Well, you just got so much to offer. As I always tell you, Joel Freeman, my only complaint about you is I don't have you on more often. You're someone I would like to have all the time. It would never be enough because you have so many topics that are so interesting that make such a difference to people all over the world. So we are very grateful we have you today. Go ahead and tell us how to ignite or reignite your entrepreneurial passion. Floor is yours, Dr. Joel.
Oh, thank you. I wrote a book about this, and it's called If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand. And this particular book actually came out of an experience where I was talking with someone about just helping them try to figure out some things, kind of reinventing for a reinvention of themselves. And then the whole idea of writing a book to help other people, more as a time management tool than anything else. And that's basically why I did it. And that's how I write my books, is I look at where my counsel is in demand, and then I write about it. And then that allows me to, when someone calls and says, I need help in this area, or I'd like to bounce an idea around with you, I ask them to read the book first, and then I'll talk. Because then that allows us, that allows them to be able to learn more about what I'm going to tell them anyway, and then it frees me up to be able to do something else, and then when they call me back, it really takes us to a whole other level, and we can start drilling down. But I just think that when it comes to entrepreneurship, I think people have a rather distorted view. Most people do, I think. Some are fearful about it. Some view it as, well, they're trying to sell something, and it's, you got to get my squeegee out, and there's all kinds of slimy stuff that I got to deal with when I talk to this person. And I just think that when we think about it, that entrepreneurship is really just taking an idea to the marketplace. And it could be a mother who is dealing with her 9-month-old child, and she comes up with an idea on how other mothers can be helped, and maybe a time management situation where she is using this, and she realizes that maybe this could be marketable. I mean, there are just so many ways these ideas come to us. Sometimes a person could be in a line at a bank, let's say, and two people behind them, someone starts complaining and being frustrated about something, and they listen some more, and then they realize, wow, if this just happened, that would take care of that situation, and a whole new idea is born to help mankind, help the humans all around the world, perhaps. Some of it is more local, and some of it's regional. Some of it might be national, and some of the ideas might work internationally. And, of course, with the Internet, that has changed all the rules and has given opportunities for people to share their ideas globally. So it's a really wonderful world we live in on many different levels to be able to take ideas to the marketplace. But I think there are three things to kind of just bring a whole different perspective to this. There are three things that anybody can do, and that is, number one, is reading. I think that, you know, we've all heard the statement, not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. I think that is such an important thing for us, for someone to consider, is in someone who says, well, I'm not much of a reader. Well, there's audiobooks, And maybe when you're driving in your car, you can just plug in a CD or have it all on your iPod or your iPhone, and you can plug it into your car system, stereo system, and listen to someone speaking to you, sharing their wisdom. And in 3 or 4 hours, if you have a lot of windshield time, in fact, I call that windshield university, that if someone commutes on a regular basis, just think how much you can learn by listening to someone who has distilled all that they've learned in their entire lifetime into a 3 or 4 hour audio book and on that particular subject. And you can become an expert. You can glean, even if you walk away with 2 or 3 bright ideas that change the trajectory of your life. Reading is so important, and it takes us all over the world. And I think read widely. Read nonfiction books. Read fiction books. Most of my books, in fact, just about all my books are nonfiction. I think I might have 1 or 2, maybe 3 fiction books in my library because I'm just a nut about nonfiction. But I read fiction because I enjoy the escape and I enjoy the way someone turns a story, turns a phrase, and the way they wordsmith the whole idea and the whole concept. But also I learn how to write from other writers. I learn how they do dialogue. Because 80% of a fiction book is dialogue, and so to understand how they frame characters and how they ignite your imagination about a character, the weight, the height, the skin complexion, the way the eyes are set, the color of the eyes, the way they carry themselves, the way they sit down and walk, all of that is just something you can learn how character development emerges. And it enriches your whole approach to life. You can travel around the world by reading. And it is just a wonderful way to learn. Second thing is writing skills. Joyce and I were talking just before the show today about writing and how important that is. And even in her show, how she turns a phrase, how she writes a paragraph to encourage people to listen to a particular show. She's using her writing skills every day. And if you are in business on any level, whether you're a person who is works with lawns or cleans houses or businesses, or is a person that has a franchise opportunity, or a network marketer, or a direct sale type of person, you have goods or services, you are writing all the time, and people will judge you by your writing, by how you spell your words, how you communicate in your writing skills. And so it's a very important thing. In fact, when you send an email or a text, I'm not a big fan of using the letter U for you. I think it's important to write out the word you and to spell everything and to be grammatical in how you communicate. Now, if you're just talking with a friend, you know, you can use all those those shorthand type ways of communicating and texting. But I think it's important to develop those skills and to learn how to write. And there are clubs that help a person write. But in fact, if you have an English teacher in your younger years that taught you how to write, I'll tell you, that person handed you a tremendous gift. My wife is an English major, and she teaches fifth grade. And I'll tell you, those kids, they complain. But some of the kids she's taught, 10 years later, they come back to her and say, "Oh, am I thankful you taught me how to write. I use it every day." And so writing proposals just to sell yourself, your goods, your services to a company or to an individual, a key decision maker, writing is very important. Another thing, the third thing, so reading, be a person who's a reader, a person who learns how to write, and then the third thing is speaking skills. Because when you stand in front of a group of people that are interested maybe in investing in your dream, in your business idea, they are going to judge you by how you communicate. You know that in terms of communicating, that only about 10% is what we say. About 40% is how we say it, and about 50% is our body language. And so if you are communicating something to someone that is a high level of importance, a high potential impact on relationship, a high level of complexity, it is very important that you're there present in person with that individual. And even if you have to leave and get on a plane to be with that person, it's very important to be in the same room so that they can see your body language. You can see their body language. Because in a telephone conversation, really all you have is what you're saying and a certain percentage of how you say it. And you're missing the body language. In text, email, it's really content, only about 10% of communication in terms of effective communication. So I think those are the top three things I think that anybody can do. But I think it's important, especially when you think about something that transcends cultures, because sometimes in North America we might have some advantages that maybe someone in Africa or Far Eastern country or Middle East Eastern country or South American country, that someone might not have access to the same type of technology and the same bandwidth that we might have available to us. But these are the things that transcend culture: reading, writing, and speaking skills. And I would encourage for the last one, the speaking skills, is maybe to sign up for Toastmasters and to be a person that is a part of a community of people that know some of the fears, because speaking is probably right up there with the fear of death. Public speaking is right up there. And so you learn how to speak, learn how to read, learn how to write. And by the way, there's clubs for all three of these. There's book clubs that help to provide a trajectory and then bring a social component to it. So you're sharing what you're learning with other people. Writing skills, there's book writing clubs probably in your community. If you do a little Google search on it, you'll find that there are people that are there to encourage you. And then, of course, speaking skills. Joyce, those are some things I wanted to communicate right off the bat.
Right off the bat, I have a couple of questions for you. When you said about you don't like shortcuts when you text the letter U instead of Y-O-U, I'm someone that uses those shortcuts for the interest of saving time. You said you don't like it, but I'd like to know why you don't like it. What would the reason be?
Well, I think that, not speaking to you specifically, but I think it's easy to become lazy and to lose the edge of spell checking and making sure that we're communicating. But, you know, when you're speaking with or communicating with friends, I'd say go for it. I'm one that I always, even with my wife, I always, and my kids, I always make sure that I spell everything out, and maybe I'm a little too perfectionist about that, but I just think it's easy with technology to get lazy about these things.
Yeah, I know. I'm not taking it personally. It's not about lazy. It's for the purpose of time. But I was thinking about it from the standpoint of when I would put Y-O-U versus the letter U, and that is if I want to make a point. It seems so much more serious if you're saying, you and I need to talk versus the letter U and I. That's an example of when I would spell it out when I want to show that I'm serious about it. So I am cognizant of when I use it, where it's a light, kind of flimsy little text, and I can do that to save time versus making a point, and then I will spell everything out. Kind of like the parent that calls their kid by two names. Linda and Lee is when they know they're in trouble versus Linda. So in that context is when I'm very careful to spell it out. The other thing
very good point.
I wanted you to reference again, because I thought that was very important. When you gave the percentages, how we communicate and people listen, 10% of what we say has the impact. Could you repeat those percentages again? I thought that was very powerful.
Yes, I think 10%, it's studies have been done about this, and you could give or take a few points on either side, but about 10% is what we say. That has to do with content. It has to do with what we're wanting to communicate with someone. And then about 40% has to do with how we say that. And so that has to do with voice inflection. For instance, if someone is sending a text and it's all caps, or an email, it's all caps, that could come across as screaming, as yelling. And so it's if you just emphasize one, if a person just emphasizes one word, they're emphasizing that, and that might be saying, "Hey, I'm raising my voice here. I'm doing this for emphasis purposes," and that's, I think, wonderful. But it's just being aware of those things. I know when I send an email, I many times will pause and say, "You know, is this too businesslike? Am I just immediately jumping into business?" And sometimes I'll go back and I'll add the term, you know, add a sentence in the very beginning or a question, "How you doing?" or "Hope all is well." Or at the very end, I might say something like, "It's great reaching out to you today. Great connecting with you today. I hope things are wonderful for you. We need to talk soon," or something like that, just to bring in that human element, so I'm not immediately jumping into the task and missing the person. And so those are just some things to consider. And of course, the 50% is the body language. When I was in Iceland a few years ago, I spent quite a bit of time in Iceland over the years, and traveling all over the country. Just a wonderful group of people I've worked with over there. But I went up to dinner with a friend of mine, and then his friend works with individuals who are opera singers. He is internationally known, a person that is kind of behind the scenes, internationally known within the opera community as one of the leading experts on helping people who are in that entertainment business, helping them to communicate with their audience. And what he says is that he brings them into a hall. He'll then, with a chalk mark or with some string, will mark out an area around, just a small area around that person, and have them perform something from a vita or whatever it is, the show that they're in. And they use muted body language. And then he widens the area with a great bigger chalk mark or larger string area. And then they compensate for that with a wider body and language until finally he gives them the first two or three rows, and then finally the whole theater, the whole venue. And you can see how their body language changes as they own, quote-unquote, the entire building. And I think that those are some things to consider when we are one-on-one with a small group, with 18 to 20 people in a corporate boardroom, or in front of a whole audience of 3,000 people, that we calibrate our body language so that it is in concord with, in harmony with, the group of people that we're with.
I've often heard it said, because I am a professional speaker as well, that no matter what you say, what you do, there's going to be people there that hear you differently, perceive you differently. You're the same person in front of the room. So you want to learn what to do to attract the entire audience. And I learned about that a lot through neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, the bottom line being that some people get it quicker or learn it easier because they're visual. So if you're up there using charts and graphs, those people get it that way. The other people get it through auditory skills, and it's how they hear you say it. Are you raising your voice? They're tapping into that. And then there's the other kind that's tactile, that get it through touch and feeling and how they feel. So when you're speaking and you have a huge audience, you want to hit on those three arenas. Joel, do you tap into that when you're speaking, or you just do your thing?
You know, it is something that I every time I speak in public, I'm a little bit nervous, and I'm glad for that, because when you get lazy and you just kind of take it like, I'm going to speak in a little bit, and I'm just going to you lose your edge, I think, over time. In fact, something interesting when most people will remember Johnny Carson. And Johnny, they hooked him up to a heart monitor because they had a heart specialist on the show that evening. So they hooked him up on a heart monitor throughout the whole evening. And just before that famed curtain was pulled back, they said that his heart rate went crazy. And like the stress hit him immediately, just knowing he was standing, going to come out in front of an audience and in front of perhaps millions of people on television to watch him and do his famed monologue. And I thought to myself when I heard that, is that Johnny Carson, here he was a man that was probably a very shy person as an individual, but was very experienced in front of being in front of a group of people. And yet he got nervous. The stress hit him just before he went on. And I just think that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes before I will speak to release the stress, I will actually, I learned this from another expert in the field, I will actually push up against a wall real hard, and I'll lean against that wall, and I'll just push like I'm trying to push that wall down. And there's something about that effort that I just feel the stress leave my body. And so that's just a little technique that I learned that works quite well. But yes, neuro-linguistic program, the NLP provides some very good insight on how to do this. And to answer your question specifically, I am aware to a certain degree what I'm doing when I'm speaking in terms of my body language, but there comes a point when I lose all that. And it's just natural, you know, even with the use of a microphone, where as sometimes when I'm speaking, I get real quiet. And sometimes when you have a large audience of 3,000 people, many times the quieter you get, the more attention you get. And sometimes the pauses, sometimes even the pregnant pauses of up to 7 seconds of saying nothing, you know, people begin to wonder, you know, did you forget what you're going to say? And so they're kind of, it's like you're walking a tightrope, but it's all deliberate. And sometimes it's the eye contact you have with people where you look at someone almost to the point of embarrassment for a long period of time, and then you move your eye contact and you make sure you engage people in the back of the audience, people to the right, to the left, in the middle. And you keep moving almost like a windshield wiper, and it comes automatic. But all of that is very important in terms of communicating, connecting, and make sure there's plenty of light on your eyes when you're speaking, because if you're speaking in a darkened room, then and people can't see your eyes, it's very important. In fact, even getting glasses that don't have the transition in the sense of getting darker in the light, because then it'll make your glasses darker and people can't see your eyes. Those are all important skills, I think, and little tips, I think, that are important to it when trying to be a person that has that extra edge when it comes to communicating.
And I would add to the techniques that of breathing, that taking deep, deep breaths and holding it and then breathing out to center yourself, to ground yourself before speaking. It is a known fact that it's one of the biggest fears in the world, public speaking. People are scared to death about speaking before an audience. So whatever skills that you have, each and every one of them will help you feel better. You know, talking about NLP, which is very near and dear to my heart, I just want to say I'll have to do a show on that real soon, because those are amazing skills, even in one-on-one communication, to just know that you're reaching someone that's auditory and they're listening very intently to what you're saying, or visual, they're watching you, they're judging you by how you look. your clothes, everything that way that makes the biggest impact. And the people that are kinesthetic, that are assessing you by how they feel when they are around you, how they feel as you're speaking and connecting with them. And to know yourself, what is it that turns you on in NLP? So you can be very aware when a salesman is trying to sell you, what is he doing that's really reaching you? If it's a car and he says, look at this beautiful car, you know that he's trying to reach out to you auditorily, visually rather, look at this beautiful car, and auditorily, listen to that radio, listen to how quiet the car is as it's driving along speedily. And I just want to say for myself, since I know what it is with me, I'm very kinesthetic. It's how I feel. I decide a lot of things by how I feel about it. And, of course, you can be all three in different measures, but I know that I'm primarily kinesthetic. Getting back to you, Joel, why don't you start by telling people how they can reach you, your website, email, whatever it is that you want people to know, Facebook, on how they can know more about you.
Yes, I'm on all that you mentioned, LinkedIn and everything, and would love to connect with people, Twitter, Facebook. I've got about 15, 16 pages on Facebook, but Joel A. Freeman is, I think I'm the only Joel A. Freeman on Facebook. And but also the website, since we're talking about entrepreneurship, is four words, workhardworksmart.com, workhardworksmart.com. WHWS, workhardworksmart.com. And that will, all my contact information is at the bottom of the page, and video clips and all kinds of different things that people need to maybe to connect with. But there's a book and a workbook that I developed called If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand. And we can go into later about how I got that title and all that kind of good stuff. But that book and workbook combination is kind of like a razor and a blade. The workbook fits into the book like a razor does into a blade does into a razor. And it's designed for groups to start entrepreneur clubs. And it's just real exciting to see, to get feedback from clubs that are using it. There's enough material in there for about 10 months, 90 minutes a week. I even have a leader's guide because entrepreneurs typically are have an attention span of about 13 seconds if it's not exactly on tuned into what they're doing. And so it's important in a 90-minute period to have it down almost to the second, to the minute of what is being accomplished, and also to encourage entrepreneurs to come with the mindset that one day I might be coming as a mentor, and the next session I'm coming as a mentee, and that even after they get their business launched, that they still continue to come so that they can give back to some of the young entrepreneurs that are coming through the funnel. So it's a really I've gotten some great feedback. It's been endorsed by Steve Forbes, Ken Blanchard, Brian Tracy, Les Brown, just Kathy Hughes, who owns the seventh largest radio network and TV network in the country, and just a number of people that have felt that it's a very viable way for a person to not only launch an entrepreneur club in their community, but also for personal reflection.
You definitely want to check out Work Hard, Work Smart. com. And Joel Freeman, Freeman is spelled F-R-E-E-M-A-N, Joel Freeman. So you definitely want to check him out. He has so much to offer on in so many categories. The man indeed is a genius. What else you want to follow every day is the show, because every day we promise you great topics, extraordinary guests. So listen to what our friend Beverly Nadler has to say about that.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce Barry and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, today's topic with Dr. Joel A. Freeman, Ignite Your Entrepreneurial Passion. I just want to share with you all my website, joycebarry.com, B-A-R-R-I-E. I am a home business coach. That's one of my specialties besides being a success coach. And I'm offering you a free consult on having your own home business, the possibilities of that, and I'll actually provide you with some resources. So if you want to find out about that free session, just email me to miracle, M-I-R-A-C-L-E, for us at AOL.com, and that's the number four, miracle for us at AOL.com. Put free coaching in the subject line, which show you listen to, your name, phone number, and best time to reach you, miracle for us at AOL.com. Dr. Joel, why don't you talk a little bit about branding and marketing?
Yes, I think that branding and marketing are very important aspects because in order to get an idea into the marketplace, one must be a person that is willing to step outside of their own comfort zones. And I think that that's a very big component because there are things that can conspire against someone's success when it comes to marketing. Because what happens is that there's a percentage of people that can get into marketing themselves, and they get 10 miles wide and 3 inches deep, and they just completely are spread so thin, there's no real target to the marketing. There's also a percentage of people that are negative nitpickers, and they can brilliantly forecast all the potential potholes ahead, but eventually all the what-ifs get to them, and they're so cautious that they never seem to implement the plan. And I think any strength overused can generally will become your greatest vulnerability. For instance, being blunt is a terrific strength, but being too blunt can turn people off. Being sensitive is wonderful, but being too sensitive can be a liability. It's kind of like fire in a fireplace. It can set a fabulous mood in an entire room, but if you get too close, you can get burned. And so I think it's important to be an individual that really takes a look at your own personal strengths and vulnerabilities. And I just think there's a happy medium when it comes to marketing yourself. It's kind of like being a bulldog with a smile. You know, where everyone is a person like a bulldog. You know that they don't give up. They are optimistic. They're persistent. But then also there's a smile on the bulldog, and that is someone who is interested in people, and a person who is very interested, genuinely interested in helping people and encouraging people. And so I think those are some aspects. Now, when it comes to a brand, I would say that when you think about what you're doing, for instance, I just talked this morning to a friend of mine who has been a CEO of a very large company in the hospice industry. He, in fact, probably the largest company. And he recently stepped down, retired, and he's going to a conference with a bunch of other CEOs. And he just said, he told me all about it, and I said, well, you need to take advantage of this opportunity. I said, what you need to do is to buy a domain name that talks about you being a CEO mentor or a mentor to CEOs. And I said, then secondly, you need to get a business card, go to Vistaprint, get 500 business cards before you go to this conference. You just basically call yourself the CEO mentor or something like that. And I said, in your byline, your brand can be something like been there, done that. And put that in quotation marks. And that becomes your brand when you go to this particular event, that you've been there, done that. And that you can look in the eyes of another CEO and you can see the pain, you can see the joy, you can see the hope, you can see the opportunity. And it's a fraternity of CEOs that, unless you've been there, you don't know what it's all about. And so my point in that is that the whole concept of him developing a been there, done that brand for his outreach to CEOs will help to just immediately, you know, when they say, what do you do? Well, I've been there and done that. I've had small companies, I've had huge companies. And I know what it's like to raise capital. I know what it's like to manage a team of people. And so my point in all that, when it comes to branding, it's important for you to come up with a phrase that describes who you are. It's like your 3-second or 5-second elevator speech. And I know for my company, the Freeman Institute, it's 7 words, and it's dealing with people who drive you crazy. And I happened upon this because this was the title for my most popular seminar, Dealing with People Who Drive You Crazy. And I thought, well, that's what I do. I help people and in terms of helping them understand themselves and others, because 75% of dealing with people who drive you crazy is the hot buttons within ourselves. It's 75% me, in terms of how I deal with people who drive me crazy. But also, it gets into that WIFM category of WIIFM, what's in it for me, is that, you know, it's kind of like almost a thing where people come to a seminar or they hear about my company, dealing with people who drive you crazy, they say, yeah, I need to know how to deal with people who drive me crazy. When the reality is that we all drive other people crazy. We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have things about us that drive people nuts. And so it's kind of a bait, pulling people in to say, yeah, I want to deal with people who drive me crazy, but then we realize that there's stuff within us that we need to take a look at. And so it's kind of my way of pulling people through the funnel immediately. Plus, also, this brand, Dealing with People Who Drive You Crazy, is a brand that helps me when I'm calling a company, doing a cold call, let's say, and I'm talking with a gatekeeper, and the person says, "You want to speak with Dr. Jones? Well, what do you want? What do you want to talk about? You know, who are you? What do you want to say?" Well, I'm Joel Freeman. I have a company that helps organizations to grow and expand and to work together better, to be more creative, more productive. And the most popular seminar happens to be 7 words, Dealing with People Drive You Crazy. And suddenly, this gatekeeper, who is stiff-arming me because he or she is paid to do that, and they're doing a very good job, they're very good at that, to keep people away from the person that they're protecting and the schedule they're protecting, suddenly that person breaks out into a laugh, and they say, oh, we need that about around here. And let me see if Dr. Jones is available. Because little do I know that perhaps Dr. Jones is driving this person crazy on some level. And yeah. So the whole idea is developing a brand and then stepping outside your comfort zone to market it. And my book, I go into all the different details and the layers of that.
And what do you want to say about nonprofit possibilities? I know that you're a great philanthropist, Dr. Joel. How do you tie that in to your passion about being an entrepreneur?
Well, I think what's important about nonprofit is that I think it's important for every organization to have a corporate soul. When I talk with the CEOs and marketing directors, I just ask them, what is your corporate soul? Are you just about the bottom line, just making money, just using people, you know, kind of bartering, getting people at wholesale so you can then sell what they do at retail? Is that what you're all about? Well, what is your corporate soul? And so by asking that question, we begin to think about, you know, what is this company doing with the profits, with time, with energy, with the synergy? And so it might be something, for instance, I just launched a new magazine that is just launching like a rocket ship. It's just very exciting. But I immediately, from the ground floor, developed a corporate soul for the project. And so what we're doing with profits, a certain percentage, is going to go toward a human-powered, portable well drilling rig in Africa, made by Africans for Africans. And so, for instance, if someone listening wanted to learn more about it, there's a website called sponsoradrill.com, sponsoradrill.com. And it's an opportunity for people to learn about this human-powered drill, which is astonishing all by itself. It drills down to 250 feet. But the beautiful thing about it is the drill itself costs $16,000. It's less than drilling just one hole. But the thing about it is that this can now employ 10 people, 10 men, who now can go throughout communities, because the average drill, a drilling rig, a hydraulic drilling rig, it costs between $18,000 and $21,000 just to drill one borehole. And this costs $16,000, but then it employs 10 men that can now drill dozens of holes a year in communities all around their region, whether it's Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, whatever it might be. And they can each make about $200 per hole. When the average wage in Africa is $500 a year, these guys have just hit the jackpot. And so, you know, the whole idea of now developing these drilling rigs that are made by Africans in Mombasa, Kenya, that excites me. And now it brings a whole new purpose to the whole magazine project, that I want this to be successful because I want us to be able to be able to launch two to three drilling rigs a year, and we'll emblazon the name Everyday Matters magazine on each drill. I'm researching how to set up some kind of a GPS tracking system to each drill, so that people who've donated for this project can actually go on a website and track where their drill is going and what it's doing. And so now you've got music in my voice, because I'm not just developing a magazine, I'm developing a vehicle to help raise funds so that it can help with this drilling project. So my point with all that is, it's important for everything. I don't care if someone is selling soap or something, to develop some kind of a local or regional or international way that they can express their love for humans. And it might be something where...
So what is the name of your magazine, and how often does it come out?
Well, it's actually a fundraising magazine, and I'm developing groups, sales reps around the country right now. But it's called Everyday Matters, and if someone could go to lovethismag.com, LOVETHISMAG, lovethismag.com, and get a sense of what it's all about. But it's in these tough economic times, it's providing people a tool to be able to raise funds for their nonprofit, for their churches and religious organizations, and then to be able to use the magazine as an outreach tool and something that allows them to reach out to the community and to connect with the business community. And so... But the point in all that is that someone could have something where they adopt schools in their community, and they build teacher lounges, and or they decorate teacher lounges, and so they might be a lawn care business, and they say, okay, we are going to adopt teacher lounges, and then they go to various like Home Depot or Lowe's, and they say, here's a way that you can win if you donate sheetrock or donate carpet. And they have an annual fundraising dinner or something like that where people donate for it, and they give a percentage of their profits. And all they do is they help teachers have a place where they can zone out and they can go to the lounge and enjoy their 50-minute break or 30-minute break away from the students so they can get recharged. And then when they go back to the next class, the students are getting 100% from that teacher.
And this is lovethismag.com, lovethismag.com. Is
yes.
that correct?
LoveThismag.com, yes.
And, Joe, I know you have a great acronym for SWAT, so can you briefly tell us what that stands for? Because I know that it was very powerful.
Well, it is not unique to me. This is something that I think is such an important thing for everybody to do, both personally and with anything that they're involved in. And SWAT stands for, S stands for strengths, W stands for weaknesses, O stands for opportunities, and T stands for threats. And I think it's important, the simple rules for an effective SWOT analysis is just basically be honest and be realistic about your strengths and your weaknesses. And it's your perspective. It's subjective, so don't go overboard with it. Just avoid overanalysis. Use it as a guide, not as a prescription. And avoid fuzziness. Be clear and be specific. And it should distinguish between where you are today and where you hope to be. And where you could be in the future. And above all, that KISS principle, keep it short, keep it simple. And the thing about it is that the strengths can be built on. Once you identify your strengths, in the book, If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand, I have about 13, 15 questions for each one of these in this acronym SWOT that really help people drill down. And so when you understand your strengths, you build on them. When you grab a hold of your weaknesses, you resolve them. When you identify the opportunities, you exploit them. And when you see what your threats are, you avoid them. And so for the strengths, you kind of figure out, what are my advantages? What do I do well? Where is my counsel in demand? Why did I decide to enter into this particular field of service or this particular goods that I'm selling? And what relevant resources do I have? What do other people see as my strengths? And then the weaknesses, some questions, what could be improved on? What do I do badly? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's important for someone to know, hey, I'm not good at that. I need to hire someone. I need to get counsel in my life. Someone needs to speak into my life about that particular area. I can see maybe 150 degrees in front of me. And it begs the question, who have I invited into my life, both personally and professionally, to cover the 210 degrees I can't see behind me? And so the weaknesses, I think it's important to identify and then embrace those weaknesses. And to realize I don't have a full 360. I can't see everything. I can't be everything, and I need help. Because many times when we're in a jar, we can't read the label, and that's why we need people around us to help read the label for us when we're in the jar. And the things that what do I do poorly, or what don't I do at all? There's some things I'm just not going to do windows. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm about, because as a time management tool, I can hire someone to do that, and that frees me up to do what I do well. And then the opportunities, what are promising prospects that we're facing? What are the best opportunities in the near future? What is the state of the art in my particular area of expertise? And then threats, what are the current and personal organizational areas of things that can threaten the growth in those areas? What obstacles do I face? What are the requirements for this desired job? Do I need an MBA? Do I need to get a certain certification? Those are the things that I think are important when looking at this. What's my competition? And what are they doing well? because there are people right now, whatever business there might be, with your show, Joyce, there are people looking to take market share away from you and how they can market their shows better and to get a higher ranking and all that kind of stuff. When we think about any field of business, you know, we're looking at market share, and some people are content with a 0.01% of a billion-dollar market share, and some are saying, no, I want a 3% market share. And so how am I going to leverage all that? What are the threats to that?
I love that acronym. That's really a great model. Folks, you want to hear some other shows that we've done with Joel Freeman that were extraordinary. In our archives, Joyce Barry, BARRIENfriends.com. Go to December 19, 2012. You'll hear an amazing show on Israel that he did jointly with Pam Thompson. Another show on Israel we had on February 8, 2013. Joel's an expert in Black History Month. Black History, the Black History Month show was on February 13, 2013 in our archives. You really do want to hear those shows. I just want to share a quote with you all, and then have Joel Freeman comment, and we'll close out the show. And this quote by H. Jackson Brown Jr., once again, we started the show with his suggestions for success. This one is perhaps my favorite quote of his of all quotes I've read about him, from him. Don't say you don't have enough time. You have exactly the same number of hours per day that were given to Helen Keller, Pasteur, Michelangelo, Mother Teresa, and Leonardo da Vinci. That is so powerful for me. Don't say you don't have enough time. You have exactly the same number of hours per day that were given to Helen Keller, Pasteur, Michelangelo, Mother Teresa, and Leonardo da Vinci. I don't know how you get it all done, Joel Freeman. I find you amazing with all your projects, magazines, books, workbooks, public speaking engagements. What would you like to say, your final thoughts here?
I'd like for you to send me those quotes by email when we're done. I would like that very much. I'm always learning and growing, and I'm just very intrigued by what you've communicated, those points, list for success, and then this latest one you just said. But I would just encourage people, if you wanted to go to the website, it's workhardworksmart.com. Would love to connect with you any way I can serve you. I would just enjoy connecting. And I really appreciate you, Joyce. I thank you for providing this forum, this opportunity. And God bless you and appreciate all that you're doing for so many.
And I so appreciate you, Joel A. Freeman. My website, joycebarry.com, B-A-R-R-I-E. Send me an email at miracleforus@aol.com if you want to know more about making some extra money in these trying times with a home business. Just put on that email coaching and your name, address, best time to reach you. So, folks, go out there, celebrate your opportunities, celebrate your relationships, and most importantly, celebrate life. God bless you all.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I didn't know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again, as Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun. She's
wow.
a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.
Hollywood, get ready.
You have no idea how happy I am.
Because today, Steve's moving in and bringing all his friends. Premiere Week kicks off with
Chelsea Handler.
And Steve breaks down what we really want to know.
Why are you single?
Is there anyone that you think would be able to tolerate this?
Plus, Steve's giving away some serious cash. Premiere Week on Steve.
Girl, this is the show to be on.
Yes!
New York, weekdays at 2 on NBC4, New York.
Hollywood, get ready.
You have no idea how happy I am.
Because today, Steve's moving in and bringing all his friends. Premiere Week kicks off with
Chelsea Handler.
And Steve breaks down what we really want to know.
Why are you single?
Is there anyone that you think would be able to tolerate this?
Plus, Steve's giving away some serious cash. Premiere Week on Steve.
Girl, this is the show to be on.
Yes!
New York, weekdays at 2 on NBC4, New York.